This morning we'd like to look at the Word of God, so open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Isaiah chapter 6. When we went to Brazil in 1969, we had a growing missionary force. We were one of the first new couples that had that went to the field, and right after we went, there was quite an influx of missionaries, and we had a good group of missionaries, and it was growing. The Lord was blessing as we served all over the country of Brazil. And in about 1991, our missionary force in the land of Brazil had grown to 207 missionaries. You may say that's a lot of missionaries for one country. When you consider a country as large as the United States with a population of nearly 200 million, that's not very many people. We could have put all of them in the city of São Paulo and still not been able to cover the entire city. São Paulo, of course, is the largest city in Brazil. Greater São Paulo is somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 million people. And so we can use a lot of missionaries. The problem is that it seems that instead of continuing to grow, the number of missionaries has been going backwards. This year in our directory for our missionaries, I counted 107 missionaries. That's 100 missionaries less than there were just 20 years ago. Where are the missionaries? Where are we going to get new missionaries? Brazil is still not evangelized. And I have been asking myself, why are we not getting new missionaries? Well, not only have I been asking that question, but many other people have been asking that question. I believe there are a lot of answers to that, a lot of factors that are involved in why our missionary force is diminishing. But I think one of the reasons is what we see in Isaiah chapter 6. And as we go through this passage, I'm not going to read it right now, but as we go through it, we'll read it. I would like to ask a few questions and try to find some answers as we look at this passage. First of all, we notice that it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now, King Uzziah was one of the good kings of Judah. He was the longest reigning king that they had. His reign was somewhat in the neighborhood of 52 years. That is longer than David or Solomon or Saul. It was, the longest reigning king that was there in that period, in the nation of Israel. And he died. And the year that he died, it says that Isaiah saw the Lord. So I asked the question, what did he see? Notice what it says that Isaiah saw. First of all, it says that he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Who sits on a throne? I don't. A king sits on a throne. I don't believe that your pastor sits on a throne. Our president doesn't sit on a throne. The president of Brazil doesn't sit on a throne. Only a king or a queen is recognized as sitting upon a throne. And Isaiah saw the Lord, and the word for Lord there is Adonai, which is normally referred to as Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And so we can say that Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on a throne. Jesus is the King of Kings. But notice something else that he saw about this throne. This throne was not just any throne, but it was a throne that was high and lifted up. It was a throne that was above the temple, not in it. It was a throne that was on a pedestal so that everyone could see all of the majesty and the glory of the Lord as he sat upon this throne. And then it says that he saw that his train filled the temple. That was an interesting thought as I looked through that. What does it mean that his train filled the temple? Well, the train here probably talks about the hem of his garment, and it filled the temple. Now, the temple was probably a little bit larger than this auditorium. And the hem of the garment of the Lord filled the temple. The greatness and majesty of the King of Kings as he sat upon the throne in all of his glory. That's what Isaiah saw. Have you seen the Lord in his glory? Then I ask another question. What did Isaiah hear? And in verse 3 it says, talking about the seraphim that are described in verse 2, it says, "And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah heard the angels saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy is this king who is sitting upon this throne in all of his majesty, in all of his glory." Now, why does he say, "Holy, holy, holy"? The first answer that we normally get when we ask that question is, well, that talks about the Trinity. And it could be God the Father is holy, God the Son is holy, God the Holy Spirit is holy. That could be an answer, but I don't think that's exactly why Isaiah mentioned it three times. Let's consider something for a moment. In the New Testament, when the Lord was teaching, many times he would say, "Verily I say unto you," or "Truly I say unto you." And when he said that, he was telling the people who were listening to him, "Pay attention. What I have to say is important." And then there were times when the Lord would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," or "Truly, truly, I say unto you." He repeated himself. And if it was important when he said, "Verily, I say unto you," it was even more important when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." He was emphasizing it. And I believe that may be the reason. The Lord is holy. That is important. But he is holy, holy, holy. We cannot understand and describe the holiness of God. Have you stopped to consider God's holiness as Isaiah did when he saw him sitting on the throne? Our tendency is not to look at God in his holiness. Our tendency is to look at ourselves in comparison with the other people around us. And when I look at what I'm doing and I compare it with what Pastor is doing, there I see some things that he's doing that are very, very good. But I see some things that maybe I am doing a little bit better. At least I think so. And as he looks at me, he would say, "Well, there are a lot of things that missionary John is doing, but I'm doing some things that are a little bit better." We all do that. We look around and we compare ourselves with ourselves, and we can always find someone who is just a little bit inferior to ourselves. Even the criminals that are in prison find other criminals who are worse than they are, at least they think so. But when we compare ourselves in our ministries to other people and their ministries and their lives and how they're living them, we do everyone a disservice, especially ourselves. Because we need to look at the Lord. We need not to compare ourselves with other people, but to compare ourselves with the Lord. And that's what Isaiah saw. The year that godly king Uzziah died, he didn't have a godly king to look at. He only had the Lord. And we need to look at the Lord. What was the reaction? How did Isaiah respond to what he saw and what he heard? We find that in verse 5. It says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me." That's interesting. Because Isaiah had been prophesying for a short period of time already. And Isaiah had used that word, woe, several times before. Look at it with me for just a moment in chapter 5. In verse 8, he says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Woe to them," he says. And then he says in verse 11, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night." And then in verse 18, it says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." And then in verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Verse 21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes." Verse 22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine." Isaiah, as he prophesied, said, "Woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them." And then Isaiah saw the Lord and he said, "Woe is me." What a reaction. Have you seen the Lord to the point where you will say, "Woe is me"? Or are you still saying, "Woe are they"? When he confessed his sin, "Woe is me." Then one of the seraphim took a coal from the altar and touched his lips. And it says in verse 7, "And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." When we see ourselves as Isaiah saw himself, and when we see the Lord as Isaiah saw the Lord, and we confess our sin as Isaiah confessed his sin, then the promise of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is a promise that we can claim. And that is what the angel told Isaiah. Your sin is taken away. You have been cleansed. Then we come to verse 8. "And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying." Now, I prepared this message in Portuguese, and I was using my Portuguese Bible, and I had a point all made up, and then I read the English version, and it doesn't say the same thing the Portuguese version says. I found out last week that the Spanish Bible says the same thing the Portuguese Bible does. And what my Portuguese Bible says in verse 8, instead of also, it said after this. After this, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord. After Isaiah saw the Lord, after Isaiah confessed his sin, after he was cleansed, then and only then could he hear the voice of the Lord. And I think that's one of the keys as to why we are not seeing missionaries go to the field today. They don't hear the voice of the Lord. I ask the question, why? It's not because our churches are not preaching the gospel, but there's something that is keeping, that is hindering young people and men and women from hearing the voice of the Lord. And what did the Lord say? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? The Lord is calling for people to go, calling for people who will answer as Isaiah did. Here am I, send me. But people are not answering and saying, here am I, send me, because they're not hearing God speak. And I'm afraid that they may not be hearing God speak because they are not seeing God in His holiness. And we need to find a way in which people today will quit looking around at all of the material blessings that God has blessed us with and begin to look at God. And look at God in His holiness and in His greatness and in His majesty and in His glory. And then they'll hear Him say, whom shall I send? Who will go? And then they'll answer, here am I. Send me. Then the Lord spoke again and said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, that their ears, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. You see, people today have their eyes closed and their ears shut. Their hearts are fat. And all they think about is me. And we need to preach. But most people are still not going to respond. And Isaiah said, Lord, how long do I have to do that? How long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Now that was prophesying Judah being taken captive. But basically, it's until there's no one left to hear. When everyone has heard and had the opportunity to respond to the grace of God. That's how long. Isaiah could have been very discouraged by hearing that. Not very many people are going to hear. Most of them are going to close their ears and shut their eyes and not pay any attention. But then it says, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Most people aren't going to hear, but some will. We've been in Brazil for 43 years. We've preached the gospel to hundreds and hundreds of people. Most of them have not responded to the Lord, but some have. Some have received Christ as their Savior. And I don't know if you saw that picture right near the end of our presentation, but it's one of the most exciting pictures that I have ever seen of those people who are in full-time service that have come out of the churches where we have ministered. They have heard. And they have responded. The picture went too fast for you to count them, but there were 21 people in that picture, besides Karen and myself. And that's not all. A few have heard. A few have responded. A few are serving the Lord. And that makes it worth it all. And that's why we're going back to Brazil in November, the end of November, to continue preaching the gospel and to continue teaching. But you know, we've been there for 43 years. Some people say that's a long time. Seems like we just started yesterday. We work in a city called São José do Rio Preto. There are almost 500,000 people that live in that town. It's medium size in our state. It's not big like São Paulo or Campinas. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that need to hear the gospel. And how will they hear if people in the United States and in Brazil don't see the Lord and hear Him saying, whom will I send? Who will go? So I ask you today, first of all, will you look at the Lord and see Him for who He is? And then will you pray, Lord, send workers to Brazil. We have two churches in São José de Rio Preto. About the size of Omaha. Greater Omaha. How many churches do you have here? And you say, we don't have enough. We need more churches. And to have more churches, we need more people. And that's just one city. In one state, there are 27 states in Brazil. Baptist Missions has been working in Brazil for 77 years now. Praise God for what has been done. But there are still 7 states where we have never been able to send a missionary. Not one. Is Brazil evangelized? No. We need people who will see the Lord as Isaiah saw the Lord, and who will hear the voice of the Lord, and who will respond, "Here am I, send me." Will you pray? Will you consider that perhaps the Lord wants you?